Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Today's message is commitment, conviction, and covenant. And I was in Pennsylvania doing business with a company called Gibson Stainless Steel. Here's some of the products that we sell. You could buy four sets of tires for that. I mean, it's crazy what stainless steel, and we sell them. We went up to do business, and we met the owner of the company. His name's Joe. His daughter's name is Maggie. And started, I heard their story. They've been in business 28, 29 years. He started the stainless steel industry in the electrical. It never had existed. And as a young executive in Pittsburgh in a big steel company, he had the idea that stainless steel is expensive, but it will last. And he put a big proposal to the executives. He was an executive, so he put it to the board of directors, and it was a $30 million. And they were just going to birth this industry. And he was so excited. It took him 6 months to put the business plan together. He did all of his homework, did all of his, and he sat down, and in 3 minutes they went, no. And it crushed him. But he was convinced and committed that this was the way that this industry should go. Took him a year, saved all of his money, and he started a company called Gibson Stainless Steel. I'm one of their reps. We rep this line in Florida. And so we're talking to Joe. He's been in business a long time. He's made a lot of money. Lots of money. And one of the big conglomerates, and there's a lot of other people in this business now, but he had a couple commitments to business. Number one, he was committed to be American made only. That was his commitment. He saw the steel business bring stuff from China. They would take a 25-cent thing, dip it in PVC, and say this is resistant to corrosion, and they'd sell it for $8 instead of doing stainless steel. And so he made a commitment to be American only. And he had competitors go offshore and take part of his business and take some of the lion's share, but he just was committed. The other commitment he made was family. He said to his wife, here's $5,000 in cash. She said, what's this for? She goes, if this business doesn't work, I want you to take the money and my kids and go live with your mom. That was his. And so he started telling the story that, and he showed us this machine, two drill presses that he cut and welded together to make this product right here, a spring-loaded nut. He had a customer in Chicago say, could you make this? Well, he was an engineer by trade, so he developed the machine to make this. So he sent him some samples. He was starving. He was working out of a garage and just working himself to death. And so he goes on a 5:30 on a Friday afternoon, he gets a phone call. He goes, man, that's exactly what I wanted. Can you do it in these three sizes? He says, yeah. And he goes, okay, you got a pencil? And he says, yeah, because I want 20,000 of these. I want 40,000 of these. Now, he's making these by hand. And so he goes back to his wife, and she said, you know that $5,000? Can I have it? Why? Because I got to buy some material. And that's what put him in business. That's what kept him in business. Now, he knows all the players in that industry, and he was offered like $75 million last year for his company. He's retired. He's got a house in Florida. He's got a house in, money's not an issue. So why not check it out? Because he made a commitment with his daughter. If you want the company, I'll let you run it. He's told him no. And so I woke up on that Friday morning after this business. I took my friend, the guys in our company to the airport. And I'm saying, Lord, I got to preach on Sunday. If you don't give me a message, I don't want to preach. And he says, oh, and he said, he referred to those three words. He referred to commitment, conviction, and covenant. And he applied it to how this man had built his company. So we're sitting there, and we have a plan. We came with a plan to increase our business. And so send me a couple hundred of these so I can give them away, and send me a couple hundred of these, and I'll do that. And I'm holding this coffee cup. I said, that feels good. I like it. And he says, that's a $7,000 cup. I said, what? He says, my conviction was American-made. And when Maggie ordered these cups, I liked the way it fit, except I turned it over and it said made in China. And my commitment was no. He could not find an American company to make coffee cups. Now he makes coffee cups because he bought the molds. What is your conviction? His conviction was American made. And this is made in America. It's $7,000 to make a $2 cup. And you think that's stupid in dollars and cents. But it's not stupid. Made in America with a flag on it. He couldn't find a writing pen that he liked made in America. He's got some. I'll have some in a couple weeks. I'll sell them to you. They're nice. What does this have to do with us? See, the word commitment is a state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, action, or plan. Other words for it is dedication, devotion, alliance, loyalty, faithfulness, bond. You can do it in business and use the words responsibility, obligation, duty, liability, burden. And it was interesting, the word pressure. How many of you in your spiritual life have been under pressure lately? Has your commitment been challenged? I crawled up next to Rodney and said, thank you for telling me you were committed to me and what God had put in my heart years ago. We had talked about it because I was talking to God about quitting. But somebody else's commitment made me have the ability to walk in my own convictions. What is a conviction? It's a firmly held belief or opinion. It's your view. It's your persuasion. It's your stance. It's your dogma. What do you have dogma? I'm telling you, I believe that as we allow God to mold us in his image, we're going to find the right dogma. We're going to find the right thing. And no, that isn't buy, get another dog. Dogma? Dogma? She asked, yeah. And she loves her mom, her doggies, I know. The word covenant is an agreement. Same thing as a contract, a treaty, a pact, a deal, a pledge, an understanding, to bind oneself. I'm telling you that my marriage covenant has been tested. If I had not been committed, if I had not had the ability to believe what God had told me, we probably would not be married today. But it has more value to me today because I was committed. It cost me to rebuild what was torn up and destroyed. And I want to tell you this morning, this fits more than anything. If you'll go to the book of Daniels, chapter 3, I want to talk to you about three Hebrew kids. I want to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, Shadrach was his pagan name, and it meant servant of the pagan moon god. But his birth name was Hananiah, which means Yahweh is gracious. Meshach's birth name was Mishael, M-I-S-H-A-E-L. His birth name means belongs to God. His pagan name is I have become weak. Abednego, his birth name was Azariah, A-Z-A-R-I-A-H, is Yahweh has helped. And I believe that what God was speaking to me, and I think it means more this morning than it did last week, was that the world wants to give you a name and try to usurp the name that the Lord has given you. And if you let the false identity of your history, your weaknesses and your failures become the dominating name over your life, then the real name that God gave you will not come to the forefront. If you look at the first 12 verses of Daniel chapter 3, Daniel was the chosen prophet of God, that they were in captivity to Nebuchadnezzar. He was a ruthless pagan king, but God always has a remnant. In whatever kingdom, good or bad, he has a remnant. I'm telling you, there's a remnant in churches. I believe those elders that stood up here have been a remnant. You hear our stories. You hear our journey. We've been a remnant in some systems that weren't all that friendly. But there's always a remnant of somebody that can take the heat, take the pressure, because the commitment has to be to God. If your commitment is to the church and not to the one who died for the church, your commitment will be short-lived. So my question to you, I'm going to make this statement. Commitment without conviction will never turn into covenant. Let me say that again. Commitment without a conviction will never turn into covenant. And you cannot go through those processes until you have been with the Master, with Jesus Christ, and figured out what he's telling you to be committed to. When he walked through the wall in 1993, and he gave me a plan, he gave me a purpose, and I was so excited about all the good results we were going to have together. And then he said, and I want you to go back to church and submit to them. Huh? My commitment about went down the drain because I didn't like none of the leadership in the church, especially Pentecostals, because they're mean in two languages. They could tear you up and I love you, brother, and stab you as they do it. And I had all the reasons not to, but my commitment, I had made a commitment and he made me a promise, but my commitment was to him. So you better figure out what you're committed, who you're committed to first. Yeah. Until that is established, you will not have the conviction to take you through the fire. The conviction of these absolutes. You got to have some absolutes. I'm telling you, I love the grace message. I need the grace message. I love the innocent message. But there's some absolutes that I can't do that the rest of you can get away with. Why? Because when I submitted to the Lord and I was committed to the Lord, I was committed to the journey and the process. Too many times we see the end results and we talk faith and we won't submit to the process or to the processors that God tells you to submit to. Without covenant, the fire of life will consume you instead of revealing you. I believe that Identity Church is about to be revealed. And this week, the Lord says it is time for the revealing. But listen, if you had abandoned the process, I would have never been able to reveal you as a church. That was good. So in Daniel chapter 3, here's the issue. Daniel was the Hebrew leader that God chose. Because of his gifting, he put him into a great place of authority. And then the king said to Daniel, because Daniel had proved who had sent him and who Yahweh really was, the king, he had influence. And because of his influence, he says, hey, what about these three over here, king? Can I promote them to places of honor? The Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I want to put them in a place of authority. I want to put them in a place, I validate them. So these three that were put into a position of commitment, of conviction, and a covenant with Daniel and God. See, if your covenant is just with me and you haven't made one with God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. The problem is we think covenant with a person is greater than covenant with God, because God will sacrifice you. I want to be like you, Jesus. Well, then let them lie about you, cheat you, and hurt you, and then love them. No, I don't want to. Oh, this is not the Christianity I wanted. I thought this was get a new bike. I mean, do you think God loved his son, Jesus? Well, he crucified him for someone else's sake. And we can't take the heat. That was good. I never forget. I'm studying this. And I had an accountability guy named Bobby Myers that God put these guys in my life to walk with in strategic times and situations. And Bobby was a good guy. We met every Tuesday morning at like 5:30 and did Bible study for an hour and a half. And we walked together. We in covenant, we were doing all the stuff every morning. We're praying with this. And my gifting kept putting us in places where, holy moly. And I'll never forget the pastor we were under, I got mad at. And two or three weeks in a row, Bobby was challenging my attitude. And so one morning, Bobby says, I'm going to pray. Dear Lord, I want you to go into the garage in heaven. There's a bicycle chain on the wall. Get it and beat the snot out of Charlie, because he's made up his mind he's not going to forgive Pastor so-and-so. That was not the prayer I wanted to hear. But he had enough relationship with God to knowing that if I did not deal with my attitude, I was going to find destruction. This is the same guy that came to me 2 years later, and he had seen the prophecies. He had seen the promises of God in my life and in the ministry, and he was part of my leadership at the time of Charlie Coker Ministries. He says to me one day, he says, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to hurt your feeling, but I just got to be honest about it. So what's that? And he goes, I don't want to meet with you anymore on Tuesdays. I said, oh, you want to change the day? He says, no, I don't want to meet with you anymore. I'm like, why? He goes, you bring too much warfare. I can't handle it. You're going places with God, which I'm unwilling to pay the price. And he broke relationship with me. This guy had become my best friend. This guy, we had a couple of demonic things we had to deal with. This was my friend, and it hurt my feelings really bad. And so a few weeks later, I said to God, God, what did I do wrong? He says, you didn't do anything wrong. He said, but let me tell you something about Bobby Myers. He's your most honest friend you've ever had. Everybody else used a little situation as an excuse. He actually told you the truth. He was unwilling to pay the price of where you were going. A couple years later, his business got broke into. He had all this warfare going on. Guess who he calls to pray? I said, oh, you thought you escaped that, didn't you? But what I'm saying is that when leadership can follow God, leadership will pay a price. That's why you're in leadership, that you may not want to pay. But I'm telling you, this is where when we're connected, it should be easier for you. Listen, if you're fighting the devil, you probably want me to help you. I fought a few of them. Do I have all the answers? No, he's not going to give me all the answers. We're going to have to do this together. But here's the three Hebrew children in 13. When Nebuchadnezzar was in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were brought, so they brought these men before the king. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you did not serve my gods and worship the golden image that I set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn and the trumpet and all that good stuff, will you bow down and worship? These guys were committed to Daniel. Got promoted because of Daniel's influence. But if they had not been committed to God, they would have caved in. I won't really worship with both knees. I'll do one knee. God will understand. No. I'm telling you, God's going to figure out what is your real conviction? What is your real commitment? And they got put into a position where they had to know what they were committed to and what were your convictions, what will it cost you? But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And I love this part here. Here's what he says at the end of 15. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? If you know who you're committed to, and you got it, you know you have enough conviction on the inside, and you know you have a covenant, you say things like, you're about to find out. You're about to find out. But if you haven't gone through the process, you'll never be cocky enough to say, you'll see. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. They're talking to a king this way. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of your hands, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship your golden image that you've set before. Listen, you could look at a commitment. You could look at a conviction, and they knew they had a covenant. You can't make that statement without those three things. You're gonna have to figure out, can you make the kind of, I'll stand alone, and if he delivers me, great. You're gonna find out it's God. If he doesn't, that's okay too. Dude, if I die tomorrow, I win. You're just losing. I can't die. I have too many promises. So verse 19, when Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury and the expression of his face changed. I was trying to buy a motorcycle yesterday. Let me see. And the expression on his face changed. I'd made a deal in the parking lot with a salesman, told him exactly how much I wanted to pay. I was willing to pay tax, tag, title, and everything else. And I thought it was a deal. He said it was a deal. I was ready to write a check. And then his boss decided to play me. And Susie saw my expression change. And we just got up and walked away. Mad as a hornet. Super mad. I don't play me. And Susie was that. Susie said, oh my Lord, I something inside of you snapped. I'm like, yes, it did. I don't do good. You want to do good cop, bad cop? I'll show you bad cop. And it made me mad, and I know the owner of the, he called the owner because he knew I was mad, and then he called me, and then I have to write him an email, sorry for using that kind of language, because my expression changed. And so I start this whole thing, and here at 7:30 last night, I'm getting emails from the owner and this and that, and I'm looking at, and listen, it was such a good deal, I had to repent. I was so mad, I walked out of there, I'd never buy a bike. And I really found out how good a deal was. It's amazing how much $5,000 worth of value will make you repent. I can't find one. Like, I pick it up Tuesday, by the way. Anyway. My wife's thinking, wow, look, just that kind of money will make you give up a vow. I'll never buy. Okay, it's a pretty good deal. But it was interesting. If anybody knows me, Susie knows me, and she's like, you snapped. I'm like, dude, don't play me. Don't play me. And And then, oh, you ain't even fair either. Just, she said things. Could you go back and witness to them? Here's what he said. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than what was usually heated. Okay? So in the king's fury and their unwillingness to bow to a false god because of their conviction, okay, because they're willing to pay the price. They knew they had a covenant. If God delivers them, great. If he doesn't, great. I'm committed. All right? He heats in his fury and his anger. He heats it 7 times. What is the number 7? God knows what temperature to let the fire perfect you so he can reveal you. See, we've been trying to escape the heat when he's actually turning it up so he can trust revealing you. Listen, how many have been under some heat? To embrace the heat, man. I'm telling you. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fiery burning furnace. 21. When these men were bound with their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, their other garments, and they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Because the king's orders was urgent, the furnace overheated. The flame of the fire killed the men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the fiery furnace. They were bound. Listen, I'm telling you, man will bind you when they can't control you. So is your commitment and your conviction and your covenant stronger than what man can bind? Can you take the increase of heat and keep committed and keep your covenant no matter what? I'm telling you, the day is going to come where God will reveal that what man and what the false name that man gave you is gone. What has held you back will dissipate in the proper temperature. You getting this? I'm telling you. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 24, was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into this fire?" They answered, said to the king, "True, O king." The answer, he said, "But I see 4 men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like the Son of God." Listen, if you want God to walk with you for people can see it, embrace the fire. The perfect fire. Listen, he knows the temperature that is required to unloose the bonds that man have put on you. Embrace the fire. When Nebuchadnezzar, 26, came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace and declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps and the prefects and the governors, let me help you out there. When the senators, the congressmen, and the governors, I don't know, all the people of influence, can a nation be saved in a day? I believe so if we can take the heat of revealing. The king's counselor gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their head was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed. The smell of fire had not come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." Listen, when the world sees your ability to take the heat of the devil and still love other people, they're going to say, "It's the God of John. It's the God of Gary. That's the God I'm going to serve." Listen, it's interesting. When I got saved in 1993 and Jesus came through the wall, I didn't cry out to him. I negotiated my mother's covenant. I said, "If you're the God of my mother," she said, "you had power." get this. I tapped into my mother's covenant and Jesus walked through the wall. Don't you want people to go to God? I don't have a covenant with you, but Gary does. And Gary told me I could have what he has because of, so if you're the God of Gary, he said you have deliverance power. Is your covenant strong enough for someone to use it for their benefit? Or you've been so mamby-pamby that they don't even know you have a covenant? Our neighbor across the street has been diagnosed with cancer. And all of a sudden, all of us, last night, our heathen neighborhood, you know, they're going, we need to surround them and pray for them. With or without the crown royal. Pastor Charlie, you start it. We'll pray with you. And we're sitting around and we're going, it wasn't a coincidence that he moved in here. It wasn't a coincidence that he's got him here because we all love him and we're going to have to do some things to help them. We're going to have to cover them. I'm thinking, man, if I could get my church to do this, we'd have a great place. That's what I'm saying though. But I look at this, I mean, it's crazy. So we're in the conversation, and while we're praying for this, he goes, like, I got this job, man. This job's going south. Pray for it too. Do you have enough covenant? Do people know that your covenant with God is strong enough that they can pull on it? Yeah. That they can pull on it. Yeah. Listen, this is biblical. What are they praying? And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah. Where's your covenant? Verse 29, therefore I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God of these three. It was a decree and a law put in place. You couldn't speak offensively about their God. They'll be torn limb for limb, and their houses laid in ruin, and there is no other God that is able to rescue in this way. When the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to the providence of Babylon. Listen, you want your promotion? Embrace the fire. Make sure your commitment, your conviction. Listen, there's something about conviction. My friend's been diagnosed with cancer. I told my neighbors, I'll pray. I went down and prayed for him. I have prayed. I'm not trying to. The Lord said to me, nice prayer, but where's your conviction about cancer? Do you have the conviction that I heal cancer? I know you can be committed to pray for the sick, but what is your real conviction that God heals the sick? Cancer has to kneel to the name of Jesus. We say that with a slap happy free loopy, but have you really got down to the nitty gritty of it that God hates cancer and wants to eradicate cancer because he loves his people? And I'm telling you, I believe God is saying, what are you committed to? What are you willing? Who's willing to buy a $7,000 cup? What has got up into your crawl where this is unacceptable? When Jesus paid it all and salvation was there and the atonement and the healing of the body is all there, that's a $7,000 cup. But what are you drinking out of? Some little China-made thing? Some Yeti, little Yeti cup, made in China. I know, messing with your cup. Listen. I'm committed. I've been blowing the dust off some prophecies. I've been blowing the dust off some old prophecies that I was willing to give up on. And I realized that I was resisting the fire that would set me free from man's opinions. And I'm asking God now, and I think it's not a coincidence that the brothers are coming, this conference is here. I want to be revealed. Whatever is in me would destroy me. I want it burned up. But I want to be revealed to where men and women can come. I want to know the God of Charlie Coker. I need the power of the God of Charlie Coker. I'm telling you, when we get this body with that same type of commitment, the lost are coming. The lame will walk. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. And Jesus will be revealed in us. If you don't embrace the day-to-day fire, you will miss the revealing fire. I'm telling you, you can't get that on a Sunday morning only nourishment. This is that personal inner commitment to Christ. Not my way, but your way. Not my will, but your will. I'm telling you, I believe that's where we're at as a body. I believe that's at where we're at individually. But I'm past all that. Reveal me. Whatever's in me that has been hindering that gate from being opened, if it's my pride, if it's that anger I have against salesmen, reveal it. I'm feeling better. Confession's good for the soul already. Because I don't want no curse on that motorcycle when I get it on Tuesday. We're going to pray over that thing. Whatever's in me. Can we pray that? Say, Father, whatever's in me that needs to be burnt up, that makes me loosed, so you could trust me to reveal me to the world that I have covenant with you. Bring it on. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.